Blog Talk Radio.
This is world champion D.E. Chambers, president of the Amateur Organization of Karate and multi-Greek Award winner. I would like to welcome you to Professor Gary Lee's Cuts Unknown radio talk show featuring news, special announcements, special one-on-one interviews with stars of sport karate. Thank you for listening. Buckle up and enjoy the show.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Mahalo. Aloha, everybody. And welcome to Parts Unknown, the live radio interviews with the movers and the shakers of the martial arts community, with your host, Professor Gary Lee. Hey, that's me! Anyway, I'm so glad to be here with everybody. Thank you again for allowing us to come to your home on a Tuesday night. But before I go on with the show, and we got a great show planned for tonight, I want to bring on the man that has been on the air for the past 9 years. A man that has vision. A man that really believes in the Sport Karate Museum. I'm talking about Auntie Jesse Bowen. Jesse, you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited because, you know, you got your event coming up out of Cindy, and I'm honoring all the women, and we're out at Mike Stone coming in from the Philippines. It's just a good, exciting year. But tell us what's going on with Cindy and your event at the New Orleans in Las Vegas. And also, you have something very special that you're doing for the Sport Karate Museum. I want you to share that, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, my producer, Auntie Jesse Bowen. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Yeah, so we have a great event. You know, we're doing a lot of things that hasn't been done before to give value to our event. You know, this year, you know, of course, you know, we have the custom Cynthia Rothrock Awards. We give the rings. But, you know, we've got a great sponsor this year, Travel Service. And now between now and the June 1st, we're going to be giving all of our inductees that are attending the event, they're going to have an option to choose a four-day, three-night vacation package to any of our major resorts, to Vegas, to Cancun, to Virginia Beach, Atlantic Beach, you know, wherever they'd like to go in the country. Which we have hotel opportunities, they get a free vacation trip. Someone says, well, this is not a timeshare that you got to go sit in a meeting. This is an actual vacation. There are, you know, some requirements. You know, we don't do the air travel, and they have to pay the taxes on it. But, you know, we're giving everyone, and they have up to 18 months to use it, a free vacation. And, you know, our sponsor was very generous, and we've laid this out from the package we're doing. We are launching the Who's Who in the Martial Arts Metaverse Museum. We're also launching the Who's Who in the Martial Arts Future Leaders Awards. This year we're reaching out to the kids that are black belts. You know, we, as we see our future turning from our senior masters, are they're leaving us, but are we laying the new groundwork for the future leaders? This is not an ego type of war, but who's doing things? And we're tying the presidential award in for the youth. So not only do they get a chance to, you know, be recognized as a future leader in the martial arts, they also get a chance, based upon their community service award, they get a chance to receive the presidential award. So these are some very impactful and educational things that, you know, that motivate martial artists whether you're the younger generation, and that's why I said with the Metaverse Universe Museum and the things we're doing, you know, we may not reach a lot of our senior people, but this new generation that is the replacement, you know, that's really trying to reach out to them. You know, we do have a lot of things that's going on. A really exciting night. You know, you should have one of your guests on, Michael, Grandmaster Michael Hornsby, and you know, he's got a new book coming out, and I'm really super excited about that, and I'm looking to support him on it. You know, my wife and I are featured. Professor, you and Tammy are featured, and this is a cookbook. Really, I shouldn't spoil it, but I really that
excited. You know, that's a wife, sir. You realize that's a secret. Hawaii.
Oh yeah, that's why I said I'm gonna try not. I'm excited, so I'm gonna save it. I'm gonna say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're about one of the same. You know, it's hard for us to keep a secret if we're super excited about it. But yeah,
yes,
I'll stop right there, and you know, we can. You know, we are going to want to. We got a promotional thing that we're going to tie back in there. So I'll just tell everyone a little bit later about what that is when you have Mike on.
Okay, super. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my producer, Hunty Jesse Bourne, the founder of the AMAA Radio Network and the publishing company that is making people famous all around the world. And we appreciate his effort in putting us around the world. And with that said, I want to say thank you to all the listeners and the people that went to our webpage last month. We had over 6,000 hits. Incredible. And that is www.sportkarateMuseumArchives.com. And you can check it out. And make sure you go to the treasures page to see all the incredible items that the sport karate have. Now, that said, I have two guys that put up with me weekly. I love them to death. One is from Ohio, is A.J. Perry. And the other one is a guy that makes movies. I love him. He's an actor, a NASCAR world champion. And I'm going to bring him on right now. We got something very special to do. Wolverine, are you there?
Yes, sir, right here.
Well,
how are you? See you, Nagata.
Sir. You know, this past week has been tough for me and you. We lost Mikey,
yeah.
Pasquale Jr., and lost Bob White a couple of days ago. Bob White was a leader in the Kimbo community and one of my dearest friends. And Michael, his dad, I was the last ninth to read black belt promoted by them together. So with that said, I'm going to have 30 seconds of silence, and then I want you to say something about Mikey. Okay? Will you do that, Wolverine?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 30 seconds of silence for Michael DePasquale Jr. and Bob White. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, the five. Thank you, Dr. Lee. Thank you, Hachi Board. Now, Wolverine, talk about our dear friend, Mikey DePasquale Jr.
You know, I mean, Michael was an amazing man, not just because, you know, of what he did in the martial arts, but, you know, his seminars were legendary. You know, he really put in a lot of work. It's going to be, you know, it's really sad, you know, him being gone. I mean, and it's sad because a lot of these guys were, you know, I grew up with these guys, you know, because Joe Louis, Michael DePasquale, Bill Wallace, all running in the same thing. So, you know, it's just his teachings, like I say, are legendary. Not just that, but what all he done as far as his film career, his action stunt school, the magazines he put out, you know, it's just, I mean, it was just legendary. And, you know, the combat jiu-jitsu, and the reason that I like that so is because, you know, it was more fundamental for the street and things like that. And you know, it's just going to be, it's a heavy loss for everybody, you know, especially us, even with the movie, The Coward. He was, you know, he played our father, mine and Rob Buckland's father in that movie, you know, because that's how he was, you know. And Mike never met a stranger. He was the same to everybody. He never, you know, had his ego out there where he acted like he was better than anybody else or couldn't take the time to speak or talk to anybody else. You know, he was always there to talk to people, and, you know, he loved it. He loved doing stuff like that. So it's just a heavy loss, you know, with him being gone for the martial arts community.
Well, rest in peace, Mikey. Rest in peace, Bob. And thank you, Wolverine. Now, while I got you in the air, let's introduce AJ. Then we'll bring about the 3 minutes with Wolverine. Then we'll go to our special guest. AJ, you there? Where are you at, AJ?
I'm here, sir. How are you?
Hey, AJ. How you doing? Say hi to Wolverine.
Good. Doing good.
Thank you, guys.
You know, we've lost a lot of people in the martial art community lately, and it's like, you know, it's a very shame, and it's a big full circle. But it's a shame that, you know, we see, you know, this circle happening. You know, a lot of people at one time. You know, it's just very sad. You know.
Well.
Anyways, Gary, AJ, didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay, buddy. I'll bring you back here in a few minutes. Wolverine, now, you are a badass competitor. You won kata, you won weapons, you won creative, you won fighting, you won everything. Now, if anybody had an ego, no, you do, but see, you control it. I know you do. How do you do that, Wolverine? How do you control ego that's out there?
Well, I mean, you know, in reality, you know, you just have to realize that you know, we're all just trying to get better and continue to get better. And like you always say, you know, you're only good as your last thing. And I just try to, you know, I just try to keep stuff real and realize that, you know, you always have to continue to work to grow and to keep moving forward. And, you know, it's just that, you know, like I say all the time about, you know, selling egos, I want to just try to stay away from that because I want you know, the people that are around me and stuff to be able to have a good time, and I want to have a good time, and, you know, there's really just no sense in it, and there's no place in it in the martial arts when, you know, you can always be injured, hurt, or something, so there's no sense in having an ego. You need to be confident, but you don't have to, you know, have an ego and, you know, run around, you know, acting like you're better than everybody else, you know. That's just an aggravating thing, you know. And I don't want to be put in that category.
Listen, Wolverine, speaking of egos, I've had a couple emails this week to ask me directly, when you come to Houston October 6th, what are they going to learn in your tactical seminar? What is that?
Well, we just do no nonsense, you know, stuff that's applicable in the real world. You know, a lot of martial arts systems want to get out there and do a dance, and in reality, when you're in a fight, whether it be when I say combatives, I mean it could be a battlefield, which, you know, the United States could be turned into a battlefield tomorrow, or, you know, just a street confrontation where you got to defend yourself, but you don't really have time to do a lot of things that people act like that you have time to do when they teach self-defense. So in ours, we teach you situational awareness and how you got to, you know, make your mark and make your stuff count right off of the bat, you know. So that's what they're going to learn.
One of the guys that emailed me asked me directly. He said, he says he's a student of Joe Lewis. I said, yes, he is. He says, well, teach me, because I've been to a Joe Lewis seminar. What will he teach me?
Well, when he went to a Joe Lewis seminar, he he worked on kickboxing stuff because that's what Grandmaster Lewis did. So in his seminars, you know, we would either work leg attacks or kickboxing, you know, depending on what it was that he felt like doing the seminar on. Angular attacks, things of that nature. So it was mainly for ring combat. Every now and then he would get into self-defense. You could use that stuff for self-defense, and you could punch somebody if you condition your hands like Joe Lewis and like he made me do. You know, you could punch somebody on the street, but most of the time people have their hands wrapped. Yeah.
Wolverine, take a minute and talk about Joe's hands. They were incredible.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, because he would condition his hands every day, hitting the Makawar board. And he would make me do the exact same thing. And even in my school now, we do that and, you know, do a lot of hand conditioning and things like that. And, yeah, his hands were like two cinder blocks. They were hard. His knuckles were hard. And, you know, a lot of times he would teach that full fist strike that a lot of people can't do because a lot of people don't condition their hands. So they'll do that and then end up breaking their pinky bone. It's called a boxer's fracture. And I always tell people, well, do you know why you hear of a break to the hand called a martial arts fracture? And people will say, no. I said, that's because they know how to rotate and strike with the right area of the hand to keep a void from breaking their hand. But, yeah, hands were like cement. He hit you through a boxing glove, and you felt like you got hit with a sledgehammer.
Basically, the answer to the question that we asked, keep it real, okay? I mean, no matter what you do, no matter who you are, keep it real. It always comes down to earth. And God bless you, Wolverine. Keep making those movies, and we'll talk to you real soon, buddy, okay?
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was
the Chinook.
Wolverine, the man that says what he means what he says, and he certainly can back it up. Now, I have a special guest tonight. And I'm really excited about bringing him on. He's a dear friend, a big part of the Sport Karate Museum, a history journal. But you know what's really cool about him? He has invented an idea that I think is going to sweep the nation. And I want to bring him on right now. Michael Hornsby, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Gary.
Hey, Mikey. May I call you Michael?
You can call me what you want. You've earned that.
Well, I'll call you Mikey then. Mikey, you've got an incredible thing. You've created a cookbook that black belts can put their recipes in. But before we talk about the book, let's talk about you. You're one of the best kata guys I've ever watched. And you are right now one of the best Texas champions that we have. But, you know, back in the day, you always say so many nice things. I want you to say them. Who influenced you back in the day, little brother?
Say that one more time.
Who influenced you back in the day, little brother?
Who influenced me back in the day? Well, my foundation and training came from Grandmaster Rodney Kaufman, Grandmaster Mike Fillmore, Grandmaster Abel Vidal. They're the ones who laid the foundation and is my martial arts blood. They're the ones who influenced me.
Did you know a guy named Gary Lee?
Say again?
Did you know a guy named Gary Lee?
Oh, I think I knew a guy named Gary Lee because he's the one that, you know, I competed at a certain level, but when I saw Gary Lee compete, that was something special. And when I started to emulate him, man, my career took off, and that was a true influence on the creativity side of my competition years.
You know,
I still compete today. He was a true influence, and that means you.
Michael, I'm just kidding. Let me tell you something. I roasted Bob Wall years ago in Hollywood. And right before I was good to get on stage, Chuck Norris pulled me behind the curtain. And he goes, Gary, don't talk about yourself. Let other people talk about what you've done. So thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, sir.
And you are one of the best kata guys I've ever witnessed. Now, Abel and Michael Fillmore, big, big, big influence in Texas. So I can see where they played a major part with you. So let's talk about your cookbook. When did you come up with the idea?
Well, the idea came from we're all great at what we do. We're experts, you know, kicking, punching, breaking, self-defense, weapons, you name it. There's many world champions out there, international champions. But outside of that, they have many talents, many passions, many hobbies. And one of them that brings people together, that brings cultures together, that brings people talking to the table is food. So that is the premise of the cookbook, is to showcase and feature martial artists, their talents outside of the ring, outside of the tournament, outside of the dojang, outside of the dojo. Many of them, they cook with their wives, they cook with their partners, they cook with their families, and they're very, very talented. I created the idea of elite black belts who cook. And, it's being published by a great company, Elite Publications, with Hanchia Bowen, which I'm very grateful for. And
did you tell him Did you tell him I bragged about him today? Remember when we talked? Because I think Jesse Bowen's a hoot. He really is. He works hard.
Yes.
Now, what? I want to share with you. That's a secret Hawaiian recipe I gave you. But I gave it to you. It's no secret anymore, apparently. It's going to be in the book. And I'm excited. Now, here's the thing. If anybody has a recipe, we got a deadline, June 15th? When we decide on the deadline to get the recipe in. Michael, I'm talking to you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What deadline did we decide for people to send the recipe?
June 15th. June 15th.
Okay, I was lying.
That way they get a chance to be in the book and be part of the premiere in July. Launching along with Hanchi Bowen's Las Vegas event. So they get the
You're also
a great
be
opportunity.
In October at the Super Vendor Show.
Yes, at the Super Vendor Show.
Yes. And now, how would they get in touch with you? Where would they send the recipe if they have one?
One, they will go onto the website, EliteBlackBeltsWhoCook.com. They can also contact me directly. And then they can also contact you directly as well.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a recipe, whether it's secret or and you're a black belt, it's important that you're a black belt, send it in to Michael or contact me personally, and you can always go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com, and I'll tell you how to contact the museum personally. Well, Michael, don't go anywhere. We're going to bring you back.
I won't. And just one last thing, they can also contact Elite Publications directly as well.
Yes. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to bring you back in a minute, and we're going to play the Legends name game. And,
yes, sir.
So enjoy the rest of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for everybody who supports the Sport Karate Museum and the history of where Sport Karate came from. Now, years ago, I had a vision to put together, well, I call it five incredible people throughout America who are authentic in martial arts know what they talk about and the topics, whether they have opinions or they're authoritative. You'll find out because it's really fun to listen to the five. And part of the five, first person I'm going to introduce, is a PKL champion training karate and kung fu. Hung out with great fights like Peter Urban and other important pioneers. She's a pioneer herself, one of the first of her kind. She now does kung fu. She'll be at the Super Vendor Show in October, showcasing her talent, doing a seminar on Tai Chi, also having a booth to showcase her talent. She is an A3 black belt of the Sport Karate Museum from North Carolina, my dear friend. Auntie Karen Slasher. Karen, you there?
I'm there, Uncle Gary.
I'm getting better on the intros, aren't I?
You're amazing.
Well, I'm not amazing, but I'm a...
Well, I like it.
I'm a hard worker. Well, you know, tonight's an interesting subject because, you know, I called everybody like I always do. And I get previews, but it's kind of a deep, deep subject, and I hope our listeners understand. So, Karen, in martial arts, what is famous? What is infamous?
Mm-hmm.
What is controversial? What is authentic?
Okay, I thought about this. And I thought of examples, and I wanted to give a quick synopsis of what authentic, infamous, controversial, and authentic is. And that would be Peter Urban, a man like him. When you look at this man and you look at his life, you can see every part, every word there that you just mentioned. And he became a legend that people loved and feared and despised. And his talents were amazing. His ego was sky high. He was famous. He was a writer. He wrote three very famous books, The Karate Dojo, The Karate White Belt, and The Karate Sensei. And they were like mandatory reading for all schools for throughout the 70s and 80s and even the 90s. They were incredible books, and he was an incredible teacher. He was a great fighter. And he trained fearlessly. He was just an amazing man. But he also lost his temper all the time. He took advantage of people. He abused his health. And at one point, he had to sell rank to survive. So, yes, he's infamous in that the people just hold a lot against him. And yet, authentic, he trained with Yamaguchi-sensei. And he never stopped training all the time. And controversial? Oh, my God. He was crazy controversial. But he was all of those things in one and never, ever apologized for anything that he did. He was the most sincere man I ever met.
Well, you know, Karen, we need to say that. Remember when he went to Japan and Yamaguchi said no, and he came back to America and he formed American Goju and became the first authentic 10th degree black belt in America.
Yes.
And, yes. And, you know, I remember this story. Do you realize, okay, what's really cool? I've got a signed book, The Dojo, that he gave me. And, but anyway, tell the listeners what you gave me a few years ago, the black suitcase.
Well, I gave you the suitcase that he used to carry around the Chinatown Dojo in Chinatown, New York. And he trained like on the top floor, the eighth floor, and he was the only man teaching Japanese martial arts in Chinatown. And he loved it. He loved being controversial. He loved being people didn't like him. The locals didn't like him at all. But I also gave you several copies.
That's right. Tell people what was in it. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it was some of his books and some of his early writings. I gave you a book that was never published, and I gave you a couple copies of his last few books that he wrote, The Autobiography of a Sensei and The Book of Goju. And
remember his badass student, Louis Delgado?
Louis Delgado, yeah.
That's right. He was the only guy. He gave Chuck Norris a bad time. I remember
that. He was a great fighter.
Yeah,
he was. Sensei Urban made everyone be tenacious. They used to scream. You know, he would yell, "How do you train?" And he would yell, "Unafraid." And how do we live? Unafraid. How do we die? Unafraid. You know, they had to constantly build themselves up to not be afraid, to just plow through. And that's what he did. To the day he died, he was out there working. He was still writing. So I was blessed to know him for 2 years.
That was perfect. That was perfect. Talk about.
Oh, I love being perfect.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, I'd be perfect. I love it. Well, Karen, you take care of North Carolina.
You too, sir.
And I'll see you real soon, okay, honey? Aloha.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to move right along with the five. And part of the five is a very special person. And I want David Chambers, did you get on the air?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Let me introduce you to the guy. This young man, he's not a young man anymore. But at one time, he was a young man, and he was an orange belt. And he entered the ski world championship underbelt fight. And I coached him to world championship. Now, he was a student under the great Fred Silent, one of my best friends. And we lost him last year. But his legacy lives on through this man. He is now one of the toughest black belts I know. I can say that because he is one of the MVP of Texas over 5 times. Ladies and gentlemen, to be 17. Win one Gold Creek. This man has won over 5 of them. But he is now also the president of the largest sport collapsing association in Texas, the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Collapsing, the oldest organization in Texas. The responsibility he's had is enormous, but he has done it. Changed a lot of the attitudes towards sport karate to his work, and I got him every week, and I love it. I'm talking about Mr. David Chambers. Now, we call him D for short, so don't get confused. David, you there?
I'm all here, sir.
My introductions are getting better, aren't they?
They are, all except that old man part, but other than that, it sounded pretty good.
You're funny. Well, you're pushing 50, I know.
That's what they tell me.
Are you 50 years old yet?
I think I am, sir. I believe that I am.
Cool. Okay. Well, listen. Here's our topic tonight. In martial arts, what is famous? What is infamous? What is controversial? What is authentic? You got 2 minutes, D. Go ahead.
The female martial artist. The female martial artist. I think the female martial artist fits that to the T. Not an individual, but the female martial artist themselves as a whole. The controversy was, should a female be in martial arts? Well, they've proved that over and over. Can a female do it? Can they take it? Can they understand?
Wait a minute. What are we talking about females for? I'm talking about everybody.
I'm saying a female have a tougher role and they handle it better.
Okay. Okay.
They've been cast aside and they still represent well. I've been blessed to where when I worked out with some females, you always think, well, should you treat them a certain way? Should they do this? Should they not? Well, I've seen a few females that have been able to handle it well. I'm watching a female role when they become an instructor. If you walk into a karate school and you see a female instructor, you customarily want to second guess it. But I know a list of females I know could actually put you on your backside physically. But moreover, when you're speaking of emphasis, I'm talking about the mental part. they handle the business well, the martial art well, the family world, the things that they do. We can't go without them. I have Grandmaster Simon as my instructor. The only one I ever heard tell him, sit down and be quiet, and he done it, was his wife. That's the only one.
God bless.
That's the only one I've
ever heard. You're right. Women have been famous. Women have been infamous. And women have definitely been controversial and karate. And they're very authentic. I mean,
that
come
is
on,
fact.
Man. There's people like Arden Lemus and Linda Denley who are more than authentic. So
I'm thinking about people like Miss Tammy. She's the only person that I've heard just tell you, stop, be quiet. And
yeah.
then you do it.
I've
seen them. So my answer is the female martial artist.
God bless you. Good point. That's bingo two times in a row. Karen with Peter Urban and you with the women. I love it. So you take care of things, D.E., and I'll talk to you real soon, big guy. God bless
yes,
you.
Sir.
Now, moving right along with the five. This man is just really, really special, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, he's a Marine. Always a Marine. And you know what's really cool about him? He's a 9-3 black belt. I mean, he's a sport card museum, a history general, a national champion. Trained in Okinawa, very authentic in his attitude and his art. An American hero, Colonel Phil Torres. Colonel, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. I am right here. Enjoying the moment.
Good evening. Here's the topic. In martial arts, what is famous? What is infamous? What is controversial? What is authentic? 3 minutes, sir.
Well, thank you. I'm going to take the first 30 seconds just to piggyback on something Karen said, because I like the way she brought out her topic. And I was, I remember watching Peter Urban in the early to mid-60s when I was attending the S. Angry Joe tournament down in Manhattan. And I remember when he went off to Japan to study and then come back and create his own style. So I don't know him nearly as well as Karen does, but I was keeping tabs on him during that time as I was learning. Also, I went to high school with Louis Delgado, and I remember him being a brown belt quality fighting in the green belt division and always winning. And then when he was a black belt, wearing a brown belt, going into the black belt division and beating everybody out also. So he was a great fighter. I remember when he beat Chuck Norris. Not just give him a hard time, he beat him.
Yeah.
So, good times. In terms of what is famous, I think back to the start of sports karate. I think back of when Funakoshi left Okinawa to go to Japan. the Japanese were interested in the sport of boxing. They have been fascinated by the sport of boxing. And his karate, coming from Okinawa, resembled that boxing. So he was limited in what he was able to do. He wasn't able to do everything he wanted to do. And some people criticized him for that. But they wanted showmanship. They wanted a boxing-like sport. And Okinawans turned on him for that because he wasn't all about street self-defense or anything else. The Japanese were not interested in anything else. They wanted to see that classic speed and agility and showmanship. So and then later on, the JKA, Japan Karate Association, branching out beyond the borders of Japan and populating instructors all over the world, especially the United States in 1965.
Well, Colonel, I'm sitting here thinking, golly, Bob, I hit the jackpot. I'm 3 for 3. Peter Urban, the women, and now with Kit Funakoshi, because that's true. I mean, he was famous, he was infamous, and then he was very controversial. And you're right,
yep.
JKA has turned out to be probably the largest karate association in the world.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, it's really more than authentic, because I remember the JKA, Tony Hunter, Frank Smith, Pat Kabuto, Val. I mean, there's an amazing group of fighters that I can think about with JK. But
absolutely.
Thank you, Colonel, for who you are and what you do. Thank you for
thank you, sir. My only closing statement to my 3 minutes was in terms of controversial, we have had our share of controversial figures within the martial arts, within karate, and I can think of one I can talk about, but I will not. Somebody who fought underground and won 1,000 championships and did a lot of things. But I'll move on, and I'll say thank you for the opportunity, Professor.
Well, I will call you and find out who that you're talking about. You can bet your dollar on that, Colonel. Well,
I think everybody in the group knows who I'm talking about.
Anyway, that's Colonel Phil Torres, part of the five. Now, this next lady, she is a true champion. I remember she paid her dues. I remember when they used to put women in the same division as men, and she would compete, not just kata, in fighting too. She is a Texas true, and I want to bring on Mortis Radulak. Mortis?
Good evening, sir. How are you? How's everyone doing?
First of all, I want to apologize for misspelling your name. I fixed it, and you know what? You should have a simple name like Lee, but it's French. It's cool, but I've got to take practice and learning how to say it and learning how to spell it. So please accept
sir,
my apology. You know.
And I do not hold anything against you for that. My name is one of the hardest names that you came across. And please don't feel badly about that. On the contrary, thank you for your apology, but it was unnecessary. I chose to speak this evening about, you know, this is something that was very controversial, and it was the 2008 Olympics, actually, and that was held in China, and it was very controversial with regards to the 2008 Olympics being held in China, but then the fact that the Chinese, who are their cultural heritage is in Wushu, and here they were in the Olympics in 2008, and the Chinese could not be involved in the Olympics because they were promoting Taekwondo, which was karate, which was a very controversial event. And
let me just share with you. Taekwondo don't call it karate, honey. I mean, they don't even compare it. I mean, that's just something that I understand what you're saying, because one, it's famous because it's in China. It's infamous because it's such a controversial subject. But, you know, I remember that, 2008. I remember that vaguely, the controversy with that. But, you know, it's very authentic because Chinese martial arts, Taekwondo, karate, very authentic. So I can't believe it. I did 4 for 4. Peter Irvin, the girls, Sotokoshi, and now you with the Olympics. I love it. I love it. Now, you're coming to Houston. You've got a booth, and you're also going to be signing autographs, and we're going to have a good time, and you're going to show off what you've done. I'm going to make you show off your pictures, some of your certificates. We're going to have a good time. And that's October 7th in Houston, Texas at the West Chase Marriott. Now, let me ask you, Mortis.
Yes.
What was your, I will give you 30 seconds. What was your hardest fight, fighting as a woman? Up and coming in Texas karate. Who's your hardest opponent? Toughest opponent.
In Texas?
Yes.
Okay. I actually was competing against men all of the time, and I was not a black belt at the time. And I couldn't tell you her name. I don't know her name. She was a heavyweight. And I had asked my sensei if I could fight, since I was having to fight women. I did not want to fight my rank, I didn't have a high rank at the time. And I asked him for permission to see if I could fight the black belt division in the women, because I didn't want to get called for excessive contact.
And find out her name and let me know, okay? I really want to know. So, God bless you, Mortis.
That was my hardest fight, and thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, find out her name and let me know. And ladies and gentlemen,
okay.
The five are, well, Adam James is filming Doc Savage. He'll be back next week. But the five is an important group of people to talk about topics, and I want to thank you to everybody. Now I want to bring on someone that's very important. He is someone that I've introduced all year. He does virtual reality. And virtual reality is it's a new technology that's been here for a while. But what we're doing with this avatar and creating the History Journal portal and the profile and how to do it with multiplayer eventually. It's going to change the industry. I'm going to bring him up right now, the co-inventor of SetVR.app, Dr. Reginald Lee. Dr. Lee.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. Take a short moment and explain to people what SetVR is, please.
Sure. Imagine wanting to continue to practice your skills anytime, anywhere, when you want. To practice your skills in self-defense, even when you travel. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, place it in your travel bag, take it where you travel, and you can do just as that with the SetVR application. With SetVR, with self-defense enhancement training and virtual reality, you will not be outside looking into a program, but you will actually be immersed into a simulation program whereby a hologram will attack you when you least expect it with sudden and random attacks. Just like the military and the police department have their simulation program, this is a simulation program for martial arts to practice their skills in self-defense. We've chosen a dark alleyway where bad things usually happen, whereby a hologram will get into your personal space prior to the sudden attack to create an adrenaline effect. During this adrenaline surge, during the fight or flight mode, it was whereby one would normally have a momentary pause and lose about maybe 35, 40, even 50% of what they've been taught in self-defense, and whereby utilizing muscle memory or reflex response would be your only and best recourse to engage and to neutralize the attack. Just as a metaphor, placing your hand on a hot stove, you remove your hand off the hot stove by a reflex response. And that's the goal of SetVR, to develop this reflex response to neutralize without hesitation. This is a program whereby you can also practice the art of movement, to practice angular, linear, circular movements to place you in an advantage of neutralization or to even to avoid attack, to practice the art of Tai Sabaki. As a metaphor, if a car or train was coming to you, you would avoid the attack. Moving angular, linear, and circular would give you that cutting edge of an advantage to neutralize your attacker. With the use of Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headsets, you'll be placed into a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram attacker will attack you when you least expect it. To practice the movement of angular, linear, and circular movements, and to place you in advantage of neutralization to practice your skills, in timing, speed, and accuracy, to develop muscle memory, and subsequently the goal of developing a reflex response to neutralize attacks without hesitation. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation exercises, and we'll also place you in, with your own personal yoga instructor. Our website, please visit our website. Continue to visit our website at setvr.app. That's setvr.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum, the future platform of the Sports Karate Museum, and his vision of the Sports Karate Museum in virtual reality with SetVR, whereby we have introduced Professor Gary Lee as the wisdom warrior. But before meeting the wisdom warrior, we must neutralize the virtual reality attacker at the gate of the hologram and then be brought into the courtyard to be introduced to the core history generals. Professor Garley, some few words about your vision of the Sports Karate Museum and sports in virtual reality with SetVR.
Well, my vision is very simple. I want to teach. I want to educate. So we started with a core group. Judge Roy Kervin, George Minshew, Chris Minshew, and Mike Dillard, the owner of Bob Up Magazine, with their profiles. And then every month, we'll add a new profile and a new history general. But Reggie, you know what, buddy? You have a recliner at your home?
I'm sorry, say again?
Reggie, do you have a recliner at your home?
Yes, I do.
I want you to sit down in it. Get a glass of sake, kick your feet up, and relax. Because
okay.
In all these, in this year, 2 years, I've heard you explain SetVR. I've never heard you stutter. So I want
you
to go to a recliner, kick your feet up, get a glass of wine or sake, and relax.
I'll just do that. Thank you so much.
I'm telling a doctor what to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a real doctor, medical doctor, Dr. Reginald Lee. I love you, Reggie. God bless you,
thank
buddy.
You, sir.
God bless you.
Enjoying your show.
Now,
thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen, the other group that we support and we're supporting is the U.S. Martial Arts Film Festival, featuring some of my friends. Don the Dragon Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Rick Avery, Eric Lee, Billy Blanks, Choo Choo Lee, Ron Hall, to name a few of the people that are coming in for this event. This will be at Scottsdale, Arizona, October 19th through the 22nd. And for every 4-day pass, you say SKM, you will help the Sport Crime Museum because they will make a kind donation in your name. But I've got the co-producer on the line, and I want to introduce him. Leo, you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Gary?
How you doing, Leo?
Well, man, I'm blessed, man. Blessed and excited.
How are you, buddy? Well, I'm excited about you coming in October and just playing Europe at. And then, of course, you're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon. And
that's right.
You're supposed to have over 50 films in the martial arts. Is that correct?
We'll have over 50 movies, including all five Bruce Lee movies. And we'll be showing two of Cynthia Rothrock's movies. And we're going to be showing Blood Fist by Don the Dragon Wilson. And a recent update, we're launching our podcast next week. And in 2 weeks, we'll have Eric Grandmaster Eric Lee on. But our opening podcast will be an interview with Cynthia Rothrock.
What do you have to pay to get on your podcast? You need to get me on there so I can pump the museum.
Absolutely. You know what? I'll schedule you on in our third episode right after Gary Lee. Or right after Eric Lee.
Super Eric, my buddy. Well, listen.
Yep.
Thank you for being on the show and share with us your vision. And we'll continue throughout the year to introduce it and hope that people will get involved. And they will be.
Yep.
God
just want to remind
Leo.
Folks, you go to www.usmaff.com, and when you buy your tickets, enter code SKM so we can make a donation to the Sport Karate Museum.
Well, thank you,
take care,
Leo.
Professor Gary. Thank you.
God bless you, Leo. We'll talk to you soon. Okay,
all right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Michael Horsby. Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir, Gary. I'm still here.
Okay, we still got a couple minutes, so. I want to hit you with a name, a minute, and talk about him. I'll hit you with a few names. You ready? It's going to be the same game, buddy. Here we go. Fast and quick. Ready? Al Francis. 1 minute. Go.
Al Francis, man, one of the best reverse punches you'll ever see. One of the hardest hit you'll ever see. But, you know, great fighter out of here, out of San Antonio and out of Texas, and one of the fastest guys you'll ever meet.
Tony Lopez.
Oh, man, Tony Lopez. If you want to talk about kata and creative kata, there's your man right there. Fighter, you know, part of Team Texas with you. but a great person out of San Antonio, hellacious sidekick.
One more. Mike Fillmore.
Mike Fillmore, the fastest back fist you will ever not see. Did you hear me again? The fastest back fist you will never see because it hits you so quick you never saw him even throw it at you. But a prolific fighter. I've been blessed to have him as my instructor. But, again, true, hard.
Well, listen, next time you talk to
knockdown
him, you tell him, listen, next time you talk to Mikey, you tell him I bragged about him, okay?
Oh, I will.
What a great guy. Well, listen, good luck on your cookbook, and we'll talk about it real soon again. And thank you for being on the show, Michael. God bless you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Love you, Gary.
You bet, Michael. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Parts Unknown. This is our weekly radio show produced by Elite Publications and Jesse Bowen. And Parts Unknown will keep coming to your home every Tuesday night with interviews, special surprises like we had tonight, and fun times. I can't believe it! I hit four in a row. I mean, come on, man. Urban, the women, Funakoshi. That's so cool, man. I'm losing everything. Anyway, as we say, we meet it from the heart. We meet it from the heart. Mahalo. Much mahalo. And aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
Paul. Good night.